The other issue, maybe I'll park it for now, but I know that you've touched on it, the issues of HODs. But even in the office of the Premier, you seemingly have a problem there. You've got an acting DG who is the Deputy Director General. The bigger question is, where's our DG? Because his term of office has not lapsed. You know, what happens there? Are you not declaring a vacancy? Do we have? Because the DDG now has been acting far too long, whereas we do have a DG.
Yeah, the DG is still within the time frame of the acting, which has been given to him. And the former DG, or the DG Mampuru, who came to the Premier, and we said that himself and the Premier, administratively, they must address that matter. Whatever conclusion that they shall have reached, then as the ANC will accept. But
there you have it. Babu Muzichiro saying, whatever issue is there between the Premier and the DG, they'll have to resolve it. The ANC will accept. Let me bring in my guest now, Dr. Rasodi Manyaka of the University of Mpumalanga, and as well as political analyst Hakwi Mashego, both join me on the line. This follows, obviously, the vacancies that exist in the two departments, or in the two government entities, being the Department of Culture, Sports and Recreation, but more so also in the provincial government, where we look into the issues of the DG, but also now that HOD Ntombela's tenure is about to come to an end. Let me start with you, Doc. How much of an impact does a vacancy in the office of the Premier, mainly in the provincial government, have on the work of government? More so that you've got DG Mampuru, as it stands, he did not finish his five-year term. However, we've now since seen that there's now his position has been advertised. And you'd remember that DG Mampuru was appointed in 2021. And our understanding is that DGs have a five-year term.
Yes, good evening to you and your listeners. And indeed, as you correctly point out, DGs have got a term of 5 years. And in this case, the term of Mampuru has not yet ended. But as per the clip that you had just played, it demonstrates clearly that there were issues between the DG and the Premier at the time. So the absence of the DG in the province, it is very impactful, because the DG in the province plays a very important coordinating role and monitoring and evaluation role of the work of the government, and also the work of other departments. So it is important to have a DG a permanent DG on the permanent basis, especially in the office of the Premier, because that person also serves as the secretariat to the cabinet and be able to effectively communicate the decisions of the provincial cabinet.
But Mashego, let me bring you in there. Politically, what does it mean for the tenure of the Premier? More so that we are reliably informed that there's been a tension between Premier Mampuru, obviously with first Premier Refilwe Mtweni towards the end of her tenure, and now that particular tension existed also with the incumbent Premier, Premier Mandla Ndlovu, and hence the DDG Ubabu Pitanyoni has been acting in that particular position.
Thank you very much, Musa, for inviting, and good evening to the doctor. Look, there's been a discussion within the ANC at different levels, at national, also at provincial level, to say there needs to be a mechanism whereby the terms of the DGs, both at departmental level, at provincial level, they need to be synced to be in line with the term of the political head, which means the new DG should have come in at the time when Babu Ndlovu came into power, so that most of the political heads of government, they want to work with somebody that they can trust. That person might be deployed from the ANC, might be somebody with the requisite qualifications, but they want to work with somebody that they know that person is loyal to them. So that discussion has happened whereby if somebody says 3 years and 2 years are left and somebody comes in, they want to come in for 2 years, doesn't want to work with the DG that was there for the other person because they're not sure about the loyalty of that person. But the problem here really happens that when you look at the tear sheet of the advertisement for the position, you don't see anything there that says someone must be loyal to the Premier to be able to become a DG of the province, because their job is to provide strategic direction to the province. But the tensions that we see in the province, whereby Mabin Tovu and previously Tsipane Mtsweni, it happens with the DGs, they should not be there. If what is there on the tear sheet now, or the requirements that you see for the DGs, if they are being followed, which means we go all out to get a professional to come and become a DG of the province. Somebody understand how government works at national and how you coordinate national and provincial government. So I think it's the problem that has dogged South Africa right now, that of cadre deployment, because the ANC would want a cadre there. It's granted, it's fine. But let there be a cadre, if it's a cadre to be there. But it must not be a cadre who belongs to a faction of the Premier, because that's where the problem comes. Because this person is supposed to be the head of administration of the province, but they cannot do that when they are in close proximity with the political power that's leading the province.
Yeah, Doc, let me bring you back there. Ubab Mashego said something very important, and we see that unfolding in the Department of Culture, Sports and Recreation. Now so that you have HOD Ntombela leaving the post, and already you have an MEC there who started, found Mr. Ntombela there as HOD. Mr. Ntombela is about to leave, but you have an MEC who has somewhat worked together now with Ubab Ntombela, crafting a plan and somewhat of a way forward of the department. You are now going to somewhat bring another HOD into that particular picture. How much of an impact then that has in the plenary of the department, but more so in the way of relations? We know that these two particular offices, they do have to work together, but if there's tension, surely the people will suffer.
Indeed, the people will suffer. But I just want to highlight the fact that the conflicts between administrative head of departments and the political heads are not new. They have existed in our public administration discourse for quite some time, and there were various reasons to believe that it is correct for a head of a department or a DG to be a lawyer to a particular political faction, as my fellow panelist has already indicated. And I think that the DG or HOD ought to discharge their responsibilities in a manner that is professional. And I think that the high turnover rate or the frequent changes of political of the DGs as a result of the changes in the political system leaves much to be desired, because you have got implications on sustainability of the department in terms of achieving their strategic goals and objectives. So it need to, as a highest administrative head of an institution, there need to be stability at that level. And I think government has tried to intervene in terms of proclaiming some regulations, 103, for instance, of the Public Service Act, which indicates, for instance, that a DG or a HOD cannot just be fired willy-nilly on the basis that they are differing with their political head. They have to find a way of working together for the common good of the people.
Yeah. But Mashego, you have the last say in the conversation. Would we ever have proper technocrats, people who are just there for administrative purposes but really don't want to mingle in issues of politics?
It needs to be possible to do that, because just understand one thing. Post 94, when we talk about racial redress of the public service, we need to be talking about affirmative action. Affirmative action says, if Musa is the best communicator to have out there, rather have Musa become the communicator for a department or for the province. Let's not consider whether Musa belongs to a certain political party, because affirmative action is about blackness, it's not about partisan politics. So we should be able to move to a place whereby people who have the requisite skills, technocrats, can be able to be deployed to these positions without regard to whether the ANC, the EFF, the MK party or not. Because when you sign a certain contract with government, you sign to discharge the responsibilities of the department. So you don't need to discharge them in line with what the political party wants, but with what the vision, because government every year it's got a vision on what it's trying to achieve. So I hope and believe that that's what's going to move to, but not this time around in South Africa, in Mpumalanga, for example, because somebody like Ntombela has been in the public service for the longest time. And I would argue that you might have had people who might have done the work better rather than just rotating one person in there. But I believe we'll move into that space now whereby professionals are going to move into government. And when that happens, that's when you're going to see government becoming more effective. As we see with Eskom, Eskom is now being headed by professionals. That's why we see there has been a reduction of load shedding. And we can have better service if Mpumalanga moves into that space, if they hire the right person, not somebody loyal to a faction of the ANC.
Without that. But Mashego, I really appreciate you, and as well as Dr. Manyaka, really I want to appreciate the opportunity you have given me to the both of you. Thank you so much for making this conversation worth it.